and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host for this week, and I am joined once again by the infamous Mr. Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker. And we've got a cool topic for you. And specifically what we're going to be talking about this week is virtual meetings and how to really nail a virtual meeting and make it a knock out of the park success for both yourself and your team. So what we're going to be really talking about are a couple of really key areas, some pitfalls that we see people make all the time that you might actually not even know that you're making, and how to avoid those. Also, we're going to be covering some different techniques on how you can really feel confident in front of this one-eyed monster and really conquer the video format. Because like it or hate it, it doesn't really matter. Video meetings like this are really here to stay in some capacity, even after the pandemic is over. So, Bart, let's jump into today's topic and maybe share a little bit about what people can expect to get out of today's meeting.
Well, I think one of the things we're going to talk about is how to make your meeting, I think the title was how to make your virtual meeting a winner. And I've been in some that were great, and I've been in some that were not so good. And I think it all boils down to sometimes people just don't want to accept this new medium that we're in. And, you know, I think that it's been said that, you know, when this all gets past us, this medium is not going to go away. And so I think the more effective we can get at it, and the tips that we're going to share today with you guys are going to be things that, really, it's going to help you to, like Wesley said earlier, knock it out of the park when it comes to your next Zoom meeting or virtual meeting or, you know, GoToMeeting or Microsoft Teams or Google or whatever it is we're all using now. Because I think now there's about a half a dozen platforms for doing virtual meetings.
Yeah. And what we're going to be talking about today is not going to be specific to any particular one of those platforms. Right. What we're going to be talking about today are really more techniques that you can apply both before you jump on the meeting, to get yourself set up, both camera, lighting techniques that you can utilize, and also just mental things that you can kind of take with you going into a meeting in order to get the most out of the meeting if you're an attendee. And if you're a presenter, how to get the most out of your staff and get the most engagement and the most takeaway. Because ultimately, that's what we all want. We want an effective meeting. Whether we are an attendee, we want it to be productive. The worst thing is, and you and I were talking about this earlier before we started this show, was, you know, having unproductive meetings and just how damaging that can actually be to both the employees and the organization as a whole.
Well, we've all sat in boring meetings where we had to be there live, but when you have to take time out of your day and you have to do something that's unproductive, you know, the studies show that, you know, unproductive meetings can actually be stressful. And in this time and age, what we don't want to do is create more stress for our attendees, our staff, or, you know, our the people that we're meeting with.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into something that's a little bit of a fun topic for me, and I think everyone out there will find this interesting as well. And let's talk about some different virtual meeting etiquette things that you might actually not know that you're maybe breaking or making mistakes when you do these things. And they're pretty straightforward, but let's talk about a couple of them. One that I see very, very often is something that has actually been parodied by the Saturday Night Live and some other things here recently, where people will get so close to the camera. There you go. They'll get so close to the camera, and it's you know, almost it's easy to do, actually. It's very easy to do. But with utilizing laptops and work from home, tablets, cell phone devices, being too close can absolutely happen without even recognizing it. So I think the first etiquette thing and the first kind of tip to not being a distraction in your meeting is pay attention to the space in between yourself and your device that you're working with.
Okay, so I got to tell you this story. So I was on a Zoom meeting not too long ago, and not one that I was conducting, just one that I was attending. And a young lady had her cell phone. She was laying on the couch, had her cell phone laying in her lap. So you're looking up, as you can imagine. And you know, and it was, and it's 30 minutes of that. And I've seen people that have taken their cell phone and they're moving it around the whole time they're talking. And I think that one of the big thing with camera angle is connection. this is the way that you're going to connect with each other. And if you're too close, or you've got a side shot, or you're too high or whatever, you know, your message that you're trying to get across is not going to be, it's not going to connect first off. And as a presenter, I find that very distracting as I'm trying to, you know, impart information that I think is valuable. Otherwise I wouldn't be telling anybody yet. So I think camera angle is it's the number one key thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, there was actually a study back in 2014 that was done that showed that 72% of people that were a part of this particular study had self-confidence issues going into a virtual style meeting or a video meeting. So one of the key things to having confidence going into the meeting is making sure that you've got that right camera angle like you're talking about. So let's talk about what that proper camera angle looks like, because people might be saying, okay, well, I need to not be too close to the camera, but there's a little more to that, isn't there?
There is. I'm about a foot and a half from my camera. Okay. And I, you know, I know that I see people that are little, they don't know. I hear this a lot. You want to put the camera high. Well, what is high? What is high? Is high up here? You know, what is high? And I read an article that said the perfect camera angle is your forehead, the forehead, you know, about your hairline right in here. And that's where mine is, because you don't get, we've all seen those camera angles where you look up somebody's nose while they're talking, you know, or you're looking, they're looking down like this, you know? And so I think that's the happy medium. Now, somebody may say, well, if I'm doing my cell phone or I'm doing my laptop, how am I going to set that up? Now, I'll share a little secret with you. I've got, for a long time, I used my webcam. I don't anymore. I'm at my laptop camera. I don't anymore. I have a different webcam. But when I was using my camera on my PC, I've got a box sitting under my camera that elevates it to a level so that it's at a good level. It's not sitting on my desk looking at my nose. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's actually interesting you said that, because last night, my wife and I had a virtual meeting with our son's teacher. And so we were sitting downstairs. We weren't in my office area where, you know, I've got, you know, cameras and things of that nature. We were sitting down where it's a little more comfortable for her and us to sit at the kitchen table. But we wanted that same, you know, kind of good camera height. So in order to accomplish that, we just got some books. We stacked books on top of each other. And I think there's a couple of magazines actually in the mix as well. But just so that we could get it to that right height so that we could, you know, both be in the picture. It was far enough away that we were both in the shot, but it was also at that eye level so that we, you know, felt confident going into the meeting and made a good first impression, because this was actually, we've got a 2.5-year-old. It's the first time we'd actually met the teacher without mask on, at least. And so we wanted to make a good first impression. So I think, you know, going back to that feeling confident in front of the camera comment, the first key piece is feeling like you've got your camera angle down, because the right camera angle not only gives you confidence knowing that other people are viewing you in a positive manner, but it also gives you confidence that you're looking your best and bringing your best to the meeting.
Right. Looking your best is a big deal. I know that's one of the things we're going to talk about, but you know, I did a Zoom meeting for about 50 people, a little inspirational, motivational talk for a business group last week. I had on a nice clean shirt, like I've got on today. I had on pajama bottoms and bedroom shoes. And I got to tell you something. I didn't feel my best, even though I looked good on camera, you know. So I followed that and did another meeting with that. And you know what I did? I went and put on a pair of nice pants. I put on some dress shoes. And even though I was sitting in a chair talking the whole time, I felt good about me. And so I think that's just going to be different for everybody, obviously. But for me, it was important for me to look my best for me so that I could be my best for them, if that makes any sense.
Well, and it might actually not be that too different for everyone, because there's been a couple of different studies that have actually shown that the best attire to wear for virtual meetings is business casual attire. Mm-hmm. You know, business casual attire is not only the most widely accepted virtual meeting attire, according to studies, but it is also the attire that gives you the most confidence in your appearance in a virtual meeting setting. You're both comfortable, but you're also looking professional. So you're sending the right message to the other attendees. but you also are feeling confident and prepared to receive information from other attendees and the presenter because you actually got ready for the meeting. You know, there's a couple of other things that kind of go hand in hand. We've been talking about proper camera angle, but I think we actually skipped something that is very important because I've seen this so many times in meetings where people don't even turn the camera on. People go to meetings and they'll have a little placeholder, you know, image of themselves from, you know, 25 years ago that looks nothing like them anymore. Or they'll have just a nothing on there. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been to that just say the person's name. You know, it's really important from, again, going back to what you had mentioned a second ago, a connection piece. It's really important if you want to actually connect with attendees and get the most out of the meeting, you got to turn your camera on.
I've done both. I've done webinars where I don't see anybody. I'm talking to a computer screen. I can't. It's just literally me sitting there with a computer just talking. And while they can be effective, it was not any fun, and I didn't enjoy it at all, to be perfectly honest with you. I've done meetings in the last couple of weeks where, you know, I operate with two computer screens. I don't know about many people, but a lot of people do, I know, particularly if they're in their office. And when I did my Zoom meeting in the last couple of times for these business groups, I had my presentation on one screen and I had another screen open with the gallery. So I could see everybody's face. And what that helps me to do is it helped me to connect with them. I could do things that were engaging with them. I could ask them to give me a thumbs up if they understood, or give me a high five if they liked it, you know, or do things like that. I think that those little things help to connect. I think it's very valuable to be able to see people's face. And what I've done, the last meeting I did, actually the meeting I did, I asked the group, I said, not everybody didn't do it, it was about 50 people. But I said, if you don't mind, could you please mute yourself and turn your cameras on? Because I want to see everybody's smiling face, because that's how I get my energy. And like I said, I'd say 52, 53 complied with that. And it was great. Now, people really don't mind it. I think that there's just this, you know, this apprehension sometimes about being on camera.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a great recommendation, especially for other presenters out there, district directors, supervisors that are going to be doing virtual meetings, maybe virtual manager meetings, back to school meetings. You know, definitely I encourage you to ask your attendees, ask your employees to turn their camera on. There's just something that happens. You know, it's so easy. I know from my experience, you know, with just being an attendee at big, large virtual meetings, it's so easy to do other things while you are paying attention, quote unquote, to the presenter that's giving information out if you don't have your camera on. If you have your camera on, there's almost a level of accountability at that point where you feel like the other person's watching you. And if you're not looking at them and you're not paying attention, they're gonna know. And it's in a way true. So if you want to get the most out of a meeting from an attendee standpoint, turn your camera on. Just be accountable to the meeting, get the most out of the meeting, and walk away. No one, like we mentioned at the beginning, wants wasted time. And multitasking, we've talked about this before, there is no such thing as multitasking. Yeah. Isn't that right?
That's right. It's a statistically impossible thing. You know, I've got one of my mantras I say every day, four or five things I say to myself every day, is I'm going to listen to others and I'm going to be there when I'm talking to them. And one of the things, you know, and we've all done this, we've all had conversations with other people. And as we're talking to them, maybe something's going on behind them in the background and you sort of shift focus from them for just a second to kind of pick up on what they're saying and come back. It's so easy to miss something. And not only that, it takes time. I think that the multitasking thing is such a misnomer, because what it really is we're not multitaskers. Some of us are just better jugglers than others, because you can only hold a single thought in your mind at a time. So if you're watching a presentation and then you're going over here and you're doing something on your pad or something on your laptop, you're missing things. And if you're in a work environment where you're at a staff meeting, that can mean you could really miss some pretty valuable information that could possibly, you know, either cost you money or maybe cause you a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you also run into the potential issue when you have people that are trying to multitask, where you'll have some people that receive the information and understand what you're talking about, and they're going to take it into the workplace and apply it. And then you have other people, and we've all had this, even in in-person meetings, where you tell the exact same thing to a group of 10 people, and somehow five of them understand exactly what you said, and the other five, it's like you never said anything at all. And the same thing happens in a virtual meeting setting, and that is a lot of times can be avoided with the elimination of the ability to do those multitasking things, like go take care of your kids, take your dog for a walk while the meeting's going on. You're technically attending the meeting, but you're not mentally attending the meeting. You may be logged in, but you're not actually there.
You know, one of the things I'd recommend to people too, especially in the business or that kind of environment, is that record your Zoom meetings or GoToMeetings or whatever you're doing, record them. It's a simple thing to do. It's just a button you push on most of the apps and record it. And that way, two things happen. You've got the ability to go back and review for yourself. If there were questions asked and you didn't get a chance to get to them, and you want to be sure you go back and talk, have offline conversations with those people. Because we all know that Zoom meetings, the way you have question and answers, can turn into rabbit holes. So sometimes you've got to sort of kind of keep it on track. Gives you that opportunity. Plus, it gives your staff the opportunity, if you house it somewhere like a Google Drive or something like that, it gives them the ability to go back. Should there be that three or four or five people going, you know what, I just don't think I quite got that at about the 15-minute mark. They can go forward fast through the meeting and go listen to that segment again and go, ah, okay, now I get it. And I think that's, I think that can be very effective. We do that with our staff calls. And I know that there's a lot of times that we have had the, or somebody misses a meeting. You know, we've had people miss our staff calls, and my general manager records them, and so they're able to go back and listen to them. And, you know, and they do. That's the thing. They do go back and listen to them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one other thing that kind of comes to mind when we're talking about, you know, being prepared and getting the most out of the meeting, one thing that I see people do oftentimes is they will be asked to join a meeting, maybe by a supervisor or a director. And their mindset going into the meeting is that I'm going to log in, I'm going to put myself on mute, and I'm going to start doing something else, and I'm basically just going to show up. But they don't actually come prepared for the meeting. And what I mean by being prepared for the meeting is actually being mentally prepared to speak. Every single meeting that you go into, even if it's a large forum meeting and you have zero chance of speaking, you're attending a virtual meeting with Tony Robbins for that matter. If you do go and you take the mindset of, I am going to go in here and I have the potential that I may be asked to speak, it does something to you mentally. You're more engaged in the words that are coming out of the other person's mouth at all times, because you're thinking about, at some point, they could ask me, hey, West, or hey, Bart, you know, tell me a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. Well, if you haven't been listening, there's no way for you to actually respond to that question or give any of your input. So going into one trick that I have found extremely helpful is going into your virtual meeting with the expectation that at any point in time, you could be asked to speak. Think about it when you were in school and you were doing classroom reading, and the teacher would call on a random person in the class and say, hey, Billy, read the next paragraph for everyone in the class. And then Mary, you read the next one. Think of it in that particular type of you know, setting when you go into virtual meetings. Go into it with the mindset that at some point you're going to get called on to read a segment for the entire class.
And you know, think about the topic, whatever the topic is. If it's a regular staff meeting or if there's a particular kind of issue that's going to be discussed, go into that meeting. I love that, what you just said, by the way. I love that. And the other thing is, go in there and ask yourself, before the meeting starts, ask yourself this question and maybe write it down on a piece of paper. As you're sitting there, what do I want to get from this? What am I looking to get from this today? What I hope to gain, and you know, what's going to make this worth my time? And you know, one of the things I found is, and I'm a habitual note taker. I mean, you sat beside me in church, you know, and you know that why do I take so many notes? Because it keeps me engaged. It's not that I really necessarily need to take, you know, 3 pages of notes on a 25-minute sermon, but I do because it keeps me engaged in what's being said. And that's a tip that I've learned. I'm a voracious note taker in meetings simply because it keeps me on what's going on and prevents me from kind of wandering off in the midst of the multitasking world.
You know, the last kind of thing, the tip that I see, or I guess mistake that I see people make that I want to really kind of point out before we move on, because I want to talk about a little bit more about what we really kind of initially kind of started touching on, which is, you know, really building confidence and looking and feeling your best on camera. The last thing that I want to point out, though, is where to actually look in the meeting. And I see this mistake made so often where during a let's just use Zoom, for instance, where you've got all the little boxes of people's faces. I see so often that people are looking down at the actual boxes of people's faces, but the camera is actually up here. So it looks as though you're not looking at the people. Now, this is going to feel awkward for people. It's going to feel strange to actually look at the camera dot on your computer or your phone, you know, or if you have an external camera like a webcam that's set up. Instead of looking at the faces on your screen, when you're speaking and when you're actually trying to connect with the other people that are in attendance, it's very important to look at the dot and not look at their faces. It's very tempting to look at the faces, but from a connection standpoint, you want to look right at the camera whenever you're actually addressing the other attendees.
You know, I think that, you know, two things that have helped me with that is number one is that being aware of, I and this is the truth. I envision you, your mom, your sister, your grandbabies, Dana. I envision those people in that camera. So when I'm talking, I can see faces when I'm looking there. And one of the things I've done too is that, so my point is envision somebody that you care about on the other side of the camera, and that helps a lot for me. The second thing is that I think that if you've got a webcam, you know, you want to be careful of the position of it. You know, I know a lot of people that actually put their computer screen behind their webcam so that they're looking at the webcam, but they can still see. But you know, you when I did my presentations last week, I did two kinds. I did one where I'm standing like this, I'm standing up like this, talking to people. And that was interesting, but I could see their faces because I had them on a screen behind the camera. I had to set my computer behind the camera so I could see them. The second kind of presentation I did was one where there were slides. I had slides, and so I wasn't actually on camera, and that helped me a lot to get that. And we connected. I could talk. I could see the people's faces on another screen, and that helped a lot. But one of the things I find people doing a lot of times is they're looking at themselves. Like I'm there, and then I have a screen beside me. So now I'm looking at myself to make sure I look good, to make sure everything's going, my hair's in the right place. You know, and I think that's one of the things people do the most is they look at themselves. You know, they're not really looking at the other people. They're looking at themselves to make sure that everything's going well, and that can be distracting.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more, because that's a great segue into what I had mentioned. I kind of want to go back and revisit a little bit more is how do we look the best going into the meeting so that we don't have that temptation to just stare at our own picture while we're in the middle of a virtual meeting. So let's talk about a couple of things. So I hear this often, you know, that, well, I just feel very self-conscious going into this. And that study that I had referenced earlier that was done said 72 people feel a little self-conscious going into virtual meetings. That number hasn't changed too much from when that initial study in 2014 happened to today, because there really was no real shift in the number of virtual meetings that we were required to attend until the past year. So a couple of things that we can do to really make sure that our setup is right. We've already talked about camera angle, but the other one is to do what is called mirror meditation. And I know you're probably familiar with this terminology, but mirror meditation is really ultimately, it boils down to preparation. And it gives you the chance to actually look at yourself before you get on the Zoom call. And this is pretty simple, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Just go to the bathroom before your meeting, spend about 5 minutes looking and making sure that you are comfortable and satisfied with your appearance before you get on the Zoom call. So instead of just showing up with your hair all you know, ruffled up like you just rolled out of bed and you've got that t-shirt on that's got the random coffee stain on the collar, you know, take a little bit of time to do some self-care and make sure that you are happy with your appearance going into the meeting. That will avoid the temptation, or help you to avoid the temptation, of just staring at your picture for the first 5 or 10 minutes of the call, which ultimately is keeping you from engaging and connecting with the presenter and the material that's being talked about.
Yeah, I would add, talk to yourself while you're doing it too. Mm. You know, the most important conversations you're ever going to have in your life are the ones you have with yourself. And I would say when you're standing there checking yourself out, say some things like, hey, you know, I look good. This is going to be a great meeting. Or, you know, I'm really excited about this. You know, sometimes you can kind of talk yourself into a state of mind. And if you spend that time when you're checking yourself out, make sure everything's in the right place. Just remind yourself how powerful and how effective and how strong you are and how good you look and how you're going to do great in this meeting and how you're going to gain something from it. And you're kind of excited about it. You know, whether you are or not, to be honest with you, because you'll carry that aura with you, and that aura comes across in this medium. It really, really does. Mm-hmm. And there's power in that. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Meditation. I got to remember that word.
Yeah. You can do a little mental meditation before going into the meeting, and it will definitely help with confidence going in there. And the other thing that will really help with confidence is make sure that you got the right lighting. And I know that you and I have had extensive conversations about lighting. And what are a couple of tips that you've found that have been successful for you from a lighting standpoint? And then I'll share a couple of things that I've seen as far as what people have done and how we can maybe have some maybe home remedies that don't cost any money that will get you the right effect.
Well, I would say when you're looking at your lighting, you know, don't think you got to spend a lot of money, you know, because you don't. I mean, if you're going to do something like we're doing, I think that maybe lighting might be something that's worth an investment in. But if you're talking about a Zoom meeting, you just want to look your best. I mean, that you can take a good lamp and set in front of you. Don't set it, make sure that it's not behind you because the light will drown you out. They also make, I've seen them on Amazon for as little as $10 or $15. Little circle lights that are battery operated that you just clip on the top of your computer screen, and it just gives you a little facial light. It takes the shadow off. It makes you look good. And you know, there are elaborate things that you can do, but I mean, that my first tip is start small and find something that works, and don't think you got to spend a lot of money. You can actually take a simple lamp. And I think Wes, you had some tips about, you know, using a lamp and shading and that kind of thing to make the lighting effective. So what did you do with that?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things you can do with actually a very simple setup. So like you're talking about, very inexpensive. Now, I will preface this by saying make sure you do not have hot bulbs in your lamps before you do this. But there are ways to what is referred to as diffusing light. And one of the things that you want to try and avoid with lamps is that the lamps can be fluorescent lights. Or they can be tungsten light, which can oftentimes give you a different shade on your skin. So to avoid that kind of yellowing shade or that kind of, giving yourself that gold appearance, to look more natural on camera, you'll want to diffuse the light. So a really easy tip is to actually take a pillowcase and set it over top of your lamp that is sitting in front of you, or somewhere in between. Ideally, you would want it to be in between you and the camera, like right in front of you. Now, obviously out of view of the camera, but somewhere really close to your face, so it actually illuminates your face. Even better if you've got a camera that's more of like a can light camera that you can turn and face at you, set a pillowcase over top of it, diffuse that light and have it pointed right at your face so that your whole face is illuminated. That would be an ideal setup, but you can really use any type of lamp and diffuse that light so that you avoid that kind of yellowing or golding of the skin, which will make you look a little more unnatural. Another free tip though is, and one thing that I see people do very often incorrectly, is use the natural light from outside. Window light is wonderful. Your natural light, you're really not going to artificially, even if you spend the most money in the world on artificial lights and a full studio setup, you are not going to be able to replace or replicate the power of natural sunlight. So using that to your advantage is something that is free and very easy to accomplish just with your setup and where you are setting up your camera. I see so many times that people will sit in front of a big window, the window being right behind them, and they'll set the camera right in front of them, thinking that, well, I've got great light. The problem, though, is that you are going to be very dark. It is going to wash you out because of how bright your background is. With a simple switch and just rotate your setup so that the light, your window light, is actually behind the camera, facing at you, it will illuminate your face. You will look nice and bright on camera, and you won't have to have any type of lamp or artificial light to get the same effect.
No, that's great. I've seen a bunch of people do that. Great thing you're talking about with the light. Now, one of the things I've seen people do too is put light below them, and so it shines up. So
So
you
you're
got
like
light.
telling
So
a ghost
you got,
story?
yeah, it's like your daddy used to do, and you'd shine a flashlight under his chin and go woo, and that's what it looks like. So the so lighting is very important.
Yeah, especially because, a good light will make you feel more confident. It's just a fact. Having poor light, having shades on your face where, when you're going into that meeting and you look good in the bathroom where you've got great lighting, and then you sit down in a dark room and you've got this, poorly lit area, you're not going to look the same as you looked in the bathroom when you did your mirror, when you did your mirror meditation. So make sure that that lighting is right and you'll feel A plus going into your next meeting.
Yeah, and one of the things you talked about was back, talking about the lighting behind you as a background. Now, I said, and I know this is something that you and I talked about in show prep, was that, virtual backgrounds. So many people are using, I'm on Zooms and I see people, they got stars and the moon and they got the Golden Gate Bridge, they got ocean behind them or whatever. And I find that distracting. And I read, and then you told me and shared an article with me that said most people find that distracting. That so if you're an attendee, I would encourage you not to do that. If you're a presenter, I would absolutely encourage you not to do that, because you want the audience focused on your message and what you're telling them, or the what would the information you're sharing, and not the ocean breeze and the palm trees flowing in the background.
Well, there's a lot of opinions, and part of that article was that there are a lot of opinions that are formulated about your choice of background, whether you like it or not. You could feel like your virtual background is a really classy and just an appropriate background, but you might have an attendee that does not feel the same way, and in some situations, might even be offended by something that you've chosen. Now, I've sat on Zoom calls, and this wasn't offensive necessarily, but I've sat on Zoom calls where people had custom virtual backgrounds that they had created, and it was one person had a unicorn and a rainbow over their head and like a shooting star, and it was just very distracting. And honestly, it took my attention more towards, where did they get this background and what all is in this background, because it's so complex, to away from who was actually speaking and what they were speaking about. So avoid being a distraction with your background. And the best way to do that is have a very simple, elegant background. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a fancy background. That's the other thing. Make it something natural in your home. Plain wall, bookcase, bookshelf, picture, with, like you've got right now, with some pictures on the background, a couple of books. That's a really clean, nice background that is going to be very low distraction for people.
Well, and I agree. And your background, I think, I honestly, personally, I got this because it's my office. Now, but I just look at your background. I mean, there's no way I can't not focus on you, because there's nothing that I'm going to want to pull my attention away. And I think that's, so there's a contrast. I kind of have a set area. That's one of the things that I think is very important about a Zoom meeting, is you have a set area, and I have a set area where I do my meetings at. I sort of keep everything the same. And so when I have to do a meeting or do a conference call or do a Zoom, there's no stress in where I'm going to be. I know where I'm going to be. And that's one of the things I would recommend to you guys is that, and everybody listening, is that, pick a place and just do it at the same place. If it's a plain white wall, if it's your bookshelves in your office, just pick the same place. That way there's no stress as to how things are going to look. There's no stress as to, is everything going to be okay? Is everything going to be in place? Because, like I said earlier, I mean, we live in a stressful time, and Zoom meetings can be stressful, especially if you're not comfortable with it. So why compound that with a bad lighting or inconsistent background or something? You feel like you got to set everything up to make it right.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Well, in our kind of last closing comments here, I'd love to get because you've done several virtual meetings here in the recent couple of weeks, haven't you? So I would love to get your input on some different presentation tips that would be more geared towards individuals that are going to be presenting to employees or to a group of people, and that is actually what they are going into. They're not just going into the mindset of I could be called on to talk, but they're actually going to be putting together a presentation and presenting it to a group of individuals. So what are a couple of different presentation tips, whether it be slide construction, mental aspects, but just some different words of wisdom that you would impart on a presenter that has an upcoming virtual meeting?
Well, I'm going to steal a couple of things because you sent me some really good notes, and they're actually were exactly what I did. So, I mean, I guess the great minds think alike goes together with us. So, but when I did my presentation, when I've done, I don't really do my presentations when I'm that I've done any differently than I've done when I do when I was doing keynotes all over the country. But these tips you sent, and these are great. Keep your slides simple. Keep a common theme to your slides. If you've ever seen me speak, my slides are white with black letters on them. That's that because I don't want the audience to focus on trying to figure out what's going on with my slide. I keep my slides very simple. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have some kind of theme to your slides, but make it something simple. Now, make it something simple that's not going to be distracting to your message. Now, one thought per slide, that's been my motto for as long as I've been speaking. If any of you've seen me talk, I mean, you'll see a slide that'll pop up that'll say choice. When we talk about choices, or we're talking about choices equal habits, or talking about change, that's what our the word fascination pops up on the screen. That's what I talk about. Now, one thing about doing presentations online is this. If you're not a presenter, you really got two choices. Not two choices, but there's two paths I see people take. They either put a buku of information on a slide, and then they're reading mechanically reading the slide. What I've learned to do, and I actually did this in a meeting I did last week. I had slides on the screen, so they couldn't see me. I had written a script, and but I didn't read the script. I laid it in front of me so that I could follow it, so I could be natural in the way I was talking. So, you can either read it or you can not read it. But if you're going to read it, you want to have simple slides and have them dominate the screen. Does that make sense? So that I also, one of the things that we did was, I'll pop up blank slides because I want people to get a chance to absorb what I just said. I'll have a blank slide, and then the next slide will have the next thought. So don't be afraid of that blank slide, because that's going to be your point where you're going to let your audience sort of kind of let what you just said sink in. And it's if you're going to be on screen, if you're going to be standing in front of a camera talking or sitting in front of a camera, look at the camera, focus on the camera, see that person that I'm, like I told you, I see my family on the other side of the camera. So it makes it so much easier for me to try to connect with that person. But it's really and honestly and truly, you're not talking to a group of people. You're talking to one person. You're talking to one person. One person is looking at you. There may be 51 persons looking at you, but then you're talking to one person. So you want to be sure you connect with that one person. And I love your last thing. It says, wing it or come prepared. Don't sit and read. And I mentioned that earlier, but I want to reemphasize that because it's so important to be prepared. It doesn't mean you have to be a speaker. I mean, you can have notes, and you can as you're reading, you can go over things, but don't make bullet point things out if there's things you want to talk about. I mean, if you're reading the new USDA regulation to your staff and you want to be sure they get it, well, then maybe you do want to read that word for word. But if you're talking about the importance of customer service or serving kids with a smile or being nice to people or, you know, the new procedure at wherever you're at whatever business or if you're a school or whatever, you know, be prepared to talk about that in a conversational manner. Because, you know, you want people to be, again, you know, connection. We got a good friend who's been on the show named Jonathan Sprinkles, who's been on the show before. And Jonathan's got a saying. He says, connection is key. And connection is key. In this medium, more key than ever. And the way you connect is by doing the things we're talking about.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, just to piggyback on that, I really feel like that connection piece and you know, coming prepared and talking from your heart is really where you have that connection. Because, you know, you can send out a memo. People can read the information for themselves. They're not sitting on a Zoom call to listen to you read a memo. You could send that out and ask everyone a couple of questions about what you sent them and get the exact same accomplishment and save everyone the hour-long Zoom meeting if you're planning on just reading the info. What they're there on that Zoom call to do is to connect, to feel like we are all together and that you are speaking directly to them. Because you are, just like you said, there might be 51 or, you know, 501 of them sitting there listening to you, but every single person sitting there is in a room just by themselves, and they feel like they're having a one-on-one conversation with the other person at the end of that camera. So you really are having individual conversations with each and every one of them. So speak naturally. You wouldn't have, you and I wouldn't sit down in a room and me pull out a piece of paper and just start reading. You wouldn't have a one-on-one meeting in person and just read a piece of paper to that individual. You'd have a conversation about it. So do the same thing when your next meeting and you'll knock it out of the park.
You know, I want to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Back to the beginning of the meeting. Now you're going to connect with people at the beginning. You're going to connect with them in the first 5 or 10 minutes. So if you really in the first 2 or 3 minutes, to be honest with you. And the now, if you've got a small group, you know, one of the things we do in our small group meetings is we ask people, you know, how are they doing? How they're doing really, you know, and we ask them, we ask them individually. You know, we want to know. And then we ask them things like, you know, share with us maybe something that you found victorious this week. Something you did really, really well. And then maybe something that you did that maybe you're struggling with, and you be the first one to share. You be the first one to share. And I say, I'll take how my week went, and because people don't. I've heard this said, and you've heard this said 100 times, Wesley. But people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And that's a small group, and that's a big group. It doesn't matter. And so that's the important thing. I think you want to let people know right off the bat that, you know, during this time that you care about them and you're going through, you know, this is a cliche and I hate to say this, but it's true. You know, we all really are in this together and we're all in the same boat. We're just in different boats.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, one of the things I've heard that kind of asking everyone how they're doing in a fun way you could have a rags and roses to start the meeting off every time you do one. And ultimately, your rags can be anything from, you know, a funny story that just didn't quite go well, that is, you know, just to kind of get everyone, you know, going and feeling a little bit light about the meeting. And then roses are successes that you've had, you know, wins that have happened over the last week or last month since your last call. But start everything off, if it's a small group meeting, with your rags and roses. Or I've seen you do several, I think you do it on every talk that you do for large groups. Start off with a story. Start off with a joke, story, something to really draw people in, get their attention, and then you move into it. And the story doesn't have anything to do with what you're actually going to be talking about. It's really just, you know, that icebreaker, if you will, for lack of a better way to put it. Get everyone on the same page. Get everyone tuned in and connected, and then you go into the material you want them to receive.
You know, I want to recommend this to Weston. We had Danny Brazell on the show just a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and Danny wrote a book called Leadership Starts with Motivation. And, you know, if you can do this, I want to put that book in the show notes. You got to buy it. You know, it's a few dollars. It's less than $10. But it's on Amazon and it's on Kindle. But it's 33 words that are action words. And I've been reading that book, and I found that, you know, those are perfect for what you're talking about. Those are perfect icebreakers. They're 2-3 minute little stories that are inspirational, funny, you know. And I think that's the kind of thing that people, I mean, you can Google, you know, inspirational short stories, you'll find them. But that book is a great source for people that are looking for something they can get right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's an independent. We get nothing from that, so I want to make sure everybody knows that. It's just a good book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Danny's a great guy. Definitely a great book. So, is there anything that you'd like to leave everyone with right here at the end of the show? Any parting words of wisdom, advice?
Well, I've got this little thing behind me with John Wayne's face on it. And I would say that this probably sums up a lot of people's attitude about Zooms and being in front of the camera. It says courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. And that's sort of kind of what you're going to have to do with this medium. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I hated this. I'm a speaker. I like being in front of people. I like talking to groups. I hated this medium, but I realized that if I was going to be able to connect and communicate and still do what I loved, and that's touching people with information, that I had to get used to it. And I've watched a lot of people blossom at doing this. And I just encourage you just to do it. Just like the Nike thing. I mean, just do it and you'll get used to it. And I promise. And you'll probably find that you might actually enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate having you on. And I hope everyone out there enjoyed these tips and hope you can apply them and make your next virtual meeting an absolute winner. So have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you again next week at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time for another awesome Friday Food Fight.